I have a few things I want to talk to you about that are very, I think, very significant, very important for your health. I want you to be well. Okay, let me give you some news. They did a study in Italy, Milan, Italy. They had 12,615 participants in this study, and it was people who had or were suspected to have coronary artery disease of some sort. They underwent a treadmill test. Now, the treadmill tests are very important. If you want an absolute good look at your heart, they want a treadmill test, although they have to stand by because some people have a treadmill test and they just can't make it. They might have a heart attack right there on the treadmill test, so they have that. So here was the conclusion. They did this and they took an echocardiograph, which meant a complete picture of the sound of the heart. And they would evaluate these people based on the capacity to do this treadmill. First of all, we all know that exercise improves your health, improves your blood pressure, helps with your weight situation. Exercise is good. We know that. If you can, some people cannot exercise, but if you can, it is very, very good and good for you. We already know that. But here's the interesting thing about this. Here's how they predicted, based on everything. They predicted this. It turned out like this. If you could go up, in other words, they took the equivalent of this and they put it in the light of going up a set of stairs. If you could go up a set of stairs, three levels, if you could go up three flights of stairs very fast without stopping, or if you could go up four flights of stairs just moderately, what that is, just without stopping, just keep walking all the way up four flights of stairs, one step at a time, not stopping. If you can do that, and your heart has the capacity to take you up, unless you say, "Well, I can't go any further, I got to stop, I just can't." If you can make three flights of stairs real quickly, very fast, or four flights of stairs just moderately fast, but you just keep going without stopping, then they say that your capacity, your heart capacity, will be great and extend your life. Now, here's what they found with these other people. Out of these 12,000 people, the people who did not do so well, death rates from the cardiovascular disease within three was three times higher in the participants with poor functional heart capacity. In other words, they couldn't make three flights of stairs. They just could not do it. Now, if you can't do it, here's the nice thing about your body. Unless you're on now, if you're on a high blood pressure medication, you probably are not going to do it, because high blood pressure medication by the medical profession is designed to weaken your heart muscle. That's how they control your blood pressure. Okay, how do we keep your blood pressure down? We won't let your heart pound. We'll weaken your heart and you can't pound so fast. Therefore, your blood pressure is lowered. What a great idea, huh? I think it's a foolish idea. Instead of strengthening your heart and having you relax, and one of my best friends was found to have high blood pressure, and this is about 10 years ago, and his doctor told him, "I can do one of two things. I can put you on high blood pressure medication, or you can exercise." And he said, "Well, I'd rather exercise." And the doctor said, "Fine." So he started running. He could jog. He's not that heavy in his knees. He could jog. I can't jog anymore. My knees hurt me, but I can walk. But he exercised. I can do cardiovascular things by riding a bike or something non-pounding. I can't take the shock by pounding anymore. Anyhow, he did, and his blood pressure just came down to normal without any medication, and that's what can be done. So these people, if you can go up the 3 flights of stairs quickly or 4 flights of stairs without stopping, you're going to do very, very well. Okay? You're going to, and if you can't, you just continue to exercise a little at a time, eat well, and I think that you will find that you will improve your heart capacity. The body will improve heart capacity. Okay. Now, on another front, vitamin D has been off and on for years. It was like, oh man, avoid vitamin D. It could hurt you. It could do this. And so people, of course, were showering themselves with sunblock and suntan lotion. And how much can we have the, how much would this, what they call SPF or something, so that they would stop the sun's rays. And the greater the more, you know, the greater the capacity, the better they thought it was. So that's what they did. What happens now is we're recognizing vitamin D in the research is so important. It's important for your immune system. It's important for on helping you prevent cancer. It has one thing after, it's just so very good for you. Here's the way skin works. You have to have cholesterol. You have to eat cholesterol-rich foods, and that cholesterol helps the skin to take the vitamin D, take the sun rays and turn it into vitamin D. That's what it does. So you have to have, you can't just go out in the sun without some good protection. They say that eggs, cholesterol from eggs, the yolk especially, is very good for the skin to protect the skin. I'll give you something else that will protect the skin. Calcium lactate, calcium, ionized calcium in your skin, on the top of your skin, all in the cells of your skin, is a very good inhibitor against breaking into the skin cells and hurting the skin. These are very important for you. Vitamin D, the best vitamin D, the best quality vitamin D is the early morning sun. If you're using and if you're having good cholesterol foods. People gave cholesterol a bad rap. Cholesterol is absolutely needed. It's the building block of all your hormones. It's the building block. It wasn't cholesterol. It was bad fats with these trans fats. It was margarine, Dream Whip, Cool Whip, artificial cream, and all that stuff. These are the kinds of things that were like trans fats, margarine, all that. These are the trans fats that hurt people, that allowed the cholesterol to drop off and plaque the arteries of the body. Now, there are people that I understand, and I have some wonderful friends, they're great people, that are just, they come from an heredity of natural plaquers. Natural plaquers. They plaque, and it's not their fault. They just plaque, and other people seem not to. You know, years ago in Oklahoma, Molly had a blood test, and you would believe it, her cholesterol was 325. They probably rush her to the hospital today. Yet her arteries, we had a carotid artery scan many years later, her arteries are just clean, much cleaner than mine. Carotid scan right up here, and no plaquing whatsoever in her arteries because she has a high HDL. Her high-density lipoproteins hold the cholesterol and do not drop it off. It doesn't drop it off in any place. It's not how high the total cholesterol is. It's the balance, what you have, how much triglycerides you have in your system, and on and on. And you know, the best diet they're talking about now, the healthiest diet in the world is what we call the Mediterranean diet. That has been touted as the best diet. Here's a quote from one newsletter. It goes, what do you want to eat? You want to eat real food. How about a salad with hearts of romaine, arugula, garden fresh tomatoes, peppers, red cabbage, spinach, with a dressing of extra virgin olive oil, fresh pressed, and balsamic vinaigrette or vinegar, a touch of sea salt, and crushed pepper. How about other foods like grilled fish or bean soup, grilled vegetables, some lean red meat, yes, lean red meat, farm fresh eggs, a sweet peach or sun-dried tomatoes, olive oil, other fruits, apples and so on, olive oil, sprinkled with Parmesan and other kinds of cheeses, blue cheese and other cheeses. How about real food? These are in the capacity of real food. In comparison, the Dean Ornish nightmare dinner, you know, they had no, there was no oil, no coffee, no dessert. The beverage was water. The dinner was low fat. It was supplemented and so on. And they found that when people on that diet, you know, did not fare well. The healthiest diet is the Mediterranean diet. And you will be very well off if you eat it. Now, here's another study. I want to just bring this to you. If you know your blood type, one study tried to show how blood type had to do with what diet you might like. We're all different. You know, there's no one standard. When it comes to health, when it comes to even mental health, what relaxes one person doesn't relax another. What is good for one person is not good for another. I knew a gentleman who could not take anything like onions or garlic. He thought they were poison. They thought that because in him, he had a terrible reaction. I've known people who cannot eat apples. It just causes a terrible reaction. Some people can't eat tomatoes. Some people can't eat strawberries. So it depends on, you know, you as a person and what is, you know, what's good for you individually. Well, this study dealt with blood types. If you know your blood type, I think my blood type is type O. So I'm going to read you what the person says here about type O. Blood type O. If you're a blood type O, you are a carnivore by nature. You need to consume high protein foods like meat and fish. Fruits and vegetables are also, of course, very good for the type O, and I love fruits and vegetables as well. And Molly and I are both type O. And I was telling her, you know, after I read this study, you know, the type O, we're type O's. When we think of a dinner, here's the first thing we think of when we think of a dinner. What meat are we going to have? Then we build our vegetables and things. We eat fruit in between meals, generally. But we think the first thing we think of when we have a meal is, or we're preparing dinner, what meat are we going to have? And we build our meal around that. A lot of people don't even consider that. There are some people who just don't eat much meat. So if a lot of people that have to, the type O's need to be careful with their intake of grains and legumes, beans, and so on. If you're overweight as a type O, you need to avoid corn. You need to avoid wheat, corn, lentils, and so on that might add to your weight. Salt, sea salt, kale, broccoli, spinach are very good for the type O's. Now, if you don't know your type, you know, when you go the next time you go to your doctor, you have a blood test, you say, doctor, tell me what's my type? And so he or she will tell you. Now, here's blood type A. There's type O, there's type A. Type A, you are more of a natural vegetarian, type A's. In your case, vegetables, grains, beans, legumes, and fruits are good. Some tofu, some fish are beneficial. If you're overweight, you need to avoid meat, dairy, kidneys, beans, wheat, and lima beans. Okay, that's type A. Type A tends to be more of a natural vegetarian. Here's blood type B. Type B, you're more of an omnivore. This means that your metabolism, you metabolize all kinds of foods. You can metabolize, you don't have to just have meats or dairy or one. You metabolize everything. Meat, dairy, grains, beans, legumes, fruits, and vegetables are all good for the type B. Chicken may not be so good for you. If you have a weight problem, you should avoid corn, wheat, lentils, peanuts, sesame seeds, and buckwheat. All right, so that's type B. Type B is, they can have almost anything that feels good for them. And then there's a type AB, blood type AB combination. You are an omnivore in moderation. You can eat more, most foods, but are just as fresh, just as freely as type O person. Yet you, your for your meat, sea or fish, dairy, tofu, fruits and vegetables, grains and beans and legumes are all consumed, and they're all good beneficially. If you have a weight problem, you should avoid too much red meat, and beans. And seeds and wheat. So that's an idea. It gives you an idea of how you can eat, what's good for you. I just know that when Molly and I both think of a food, we think of what meat are we going to have with dinner tonight.